Coming up on today's episode of the Locked On Bucks podcast, we received a voicemail from one of our listeners, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers took to Raymond James Stadium for their first scrimmage. But first, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have entered into contract extension talks, but not with the player you would most likely suspect.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's up and welcome back to the Locked On Bucks podcast. I'm James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. You can find everything that we're doing over at BucksNation.com and make sure you follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at JYarko underscore Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at Bucks underscore Nation. First and foremost, we apologize for the delay in the release of this episode. Had some technical issues last night, but we are still dropping you an episode to make sure that we get out that fantastic Bucks coverage. Your Tampa Bay Buccaneers lead story is that the Buccaneers have entered into contract extension talks with one of their key players, but not the one you're probably thinking of. We would say contract extension talks, and most people would immediately think, oh, Chris Godwin. No, no, no. It's linebacker Lavonte David, and NFL Network's Ian Rappaport had this to say.
Yeah, if all goes well, this is certainly one to watch. Lavonte David, one of the faces of this Tampa Bay Bucs defense for almost a decade now, and one of the more underrated players in the NFL, regardless of position. He's got a year left on his deal, making about $10 million, which all counts toward the cap. So what my understanding is the Bucs have pretty quietly been in negotiations for a long-term deal to lock in Lavonte David's future, potentially make it so he retires a member of the Buccaneers. And obviously this is a player who has been so effective, certainly someone you would want to reward. We'll see if the Bucs are able to do that, give him a little raise, and maybe help out their salary cap situation as well, because if they end up doing a new deal for David, likely that would help his cap hit lower a little bit and potentially make room for some other big extensions they may end up doing, like Godwin would be a good place to start there as well.
Yeah, certainly Bucks fans are waiting for that news that they've been doing contract talks or that there's been an agreement on a deal with Chris Godwin. But David, I love the move of getting Lavonte extended, basically making sure he will only be a Buccaneer for the duration of his career. It can, as Ian Rappaport laid out, can provide some cap relief, especially in a very questionable time as far as the cap is concerned, given that we don't know the status of what the salary cap will be for 2021. So I love everything about this news, and it just kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, what a better time to get news like that. I mean, you know, I think maybe Jason Light kind of picked up. He's like, you know, there's not a whole lot coming out of training camp right now because of the weird way it's being covered, and as many people aren't going to be able to be there. And da, da, da. So let's throw these guys a bone and give them something to talk about. So we appreciate it, Jason. Thanks for listening and thanks for contributing to the show today. Yeah, I mean, when we talked about this whole situation about the salary cap and everything, you know, we even got a call from one of our listeners talking about, you know, they can work the cap to get to maybe even three of these guys re-signed. And, you know, we acknowledged that on the episode. And those are the great things about the salary cap and some of the rules and some of the ways that things can be renegotiated and moved and shifted around. And, you know, Jason Light and that Buccaneers, you know, front office, they've been amazing at it for all these years. So it's really no surprise that they're, you know, in the process of working to find another way to get that done. But it's also great just to know, I mean, even if, you know, I mean, maybe this contract gets signed, you know, before, like, say, September 10th, 11th, something like that. And that would be great, you know what I mean, to have Lavonte going into this season locked up for another however many years with adjusted, you know, prorated cap hit to help the team and all that stuff. And it would be amazing, and I'd be all for it. But just the fact that you now have confirmation. I mean, we already know, James, you know, to a certain extent that, you know, that Buccaneers front office, the scouts and whoever else you want to talk about, like, you know, they've got pro scouts, you know, they're scouting their upcoming opponents, but they're also scouting potential free agent guys who might get waived cut. They're always moving, you know, as we're sitting here talking about August, the end of August, early September in 2020, there are people in the Buccaneers organization already looking at 2021. I wouldn't be surprised if there are guys already kind of looking at least a little bit towards what might be coming in 2022. So, I mean, it's just good to have confirmation of that. I think it should make Buccaneers fans feel a little bit more at ease, you know, when you do look down the road at some of these players who are going to be free agents and the situation with the COVID affected salary cap, that your team, your front office is already trying to make the moves to make sure the key players like Lavonte David are wearing Buccaneers colors for a long, long time.
All right. Well, speaking of those Buccaneers colors, they clashed on the turf there at Raymond James Stadium for a scrimmage on Friday morning. And we will get to that in just a moment. But first, we have a word from our good friends over at Built Bar. Look, Built Bars are, they're new, they're reinvented, they're dropping all these incredible flavors, some familiar favorites like the double chocolate, the peanut butter brownie, the German chocolate, the banana bread. I know you were a big fan of that, David. Also bringing in some improved Built Bars that are, as David would like to say, even deliciouser. Caramel brownie, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, apple almond crisp, carrot cake, and the ever popular cookies and cream. Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health conscious person. You can lose, maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. They are great for the keto diet, which is all the rage right now. Those cookies and cream bars that David talked about, how delicious they were. I'm jealous. I haven't been able to try them yet, but I'm excited for the opportunity. 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs. While supplies last, that means you need to go order now. While those supplies last, you will get a free cooler with the purchase of Built Bars. And for those of you that tried them the first time we talked about them, guess what? This promo code is also for you. It's not for your first order anymore. It's for your next order. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON and you will receive $10 off your next order. Again, promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Sending you into the weekend in a fabulous fashion here on the Locked On Bucks podcast. And David, we have some things to talk about regarding the scrimmage between the Buccaneers and the Buccaneers at Raymond James Stadium on Friday morning. Now, I will start with the bad news. There were a couple of injuries that took place during the practice that we're going to have to keep our eye on. Greg Allman of The Athletic said on Twitter that Ronald Jones had his left foot wrapped and iced on a trainer's table, and Carlton Davis appeared to injure his right shoulder while making a tackle. Now, when Bruce Arians was asked about this following the game when he was available to the media, he simply said, quote, "I'll wait and see. I don't think either one is very serious, but definitely something that we are going to have to keep an eye on moving forward. We're getting closer and closer to the NFL season, and those are two guys, David, that we have talked about numerous times, how important they are going to be to the Buccaneers' ability to have success in 2020.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely worrisome, you know, and that's, again, going back to BA's initial comments. I mean, we've talked about this every time he talks about the scrimmaging and, you know, the quote unquote kind of spring games that he's talking about doing with his team. You know, he's talked about doing two of them. And I wonder now, you know, now with Ronald Jones and Carlton Davis banged up, hopefully that's all it is that they're just banged up. I wonder if he's reconsidering doing that second game. I don't know, because, I mean, at the same time, you know, you can't coach scared, you can't play scared, and you can't, you know, there are just things that you kind of have to do everything you can to get your team ready. And I think that's something that's probably a conversation that's going on right now inside the Buccaneers coaching staff and the medical department and everybody else talking about is the risk of doing this again, you know, worth the benefit of doing it again? Because, I mean, you know, it just really boils down to how confident are you in your starting 11 on each side? How confident are you on the depth that you have on the roster? Because, again, Ronald Jones goes down. And, I mean, while we don't know the full extent of it, you know, worst case scenario, if he's not ready for the start of the season now because of this whole thing, I mean, is LeSean McCoy ready to carry, you know, the starting workload? He's already come out himself and made comments about not being the primary guy there in the Buccaneers backfield. So, you know, how does that change things? Keyshawn Vaughn, by all accounts, has had a not so good training camp, which is fine. You know, I mean, we saw Ronald Jones was a guy that, you know, coming out of USC, I think a lot of people talked about it, where his first little bit at USC wasn't all that successful. It took him a little bit of time. He needed some runway to really get going at USC. And then we see in the NFL, again, he kind of struggles right out of the gate and needs a little bit of a runway to get going as a professional football player. Keyshawn Vaughn's a guy in a similar situation. I mean, he did well reasonably at Illinois, but ended up becoming a guy who's kind of, you know, put in the doghouse. I don't know the entire details on why he kind of saw his play time kind of deplete and decided to move to the SEC. But, you know, bottom line is the way he started his collegiate career is not nearly as good as the way he ended it. So Keyshawn might be a guy who, again, is a third round draft pick for a reason. He might need a year or two to get running or get up and going in the National Football League before he can really be an impact player. So then you have Dare Ogunbowale, who we've already seen, and I love Dare just as much as the next guy, but is he ready to be a primary back or a big-time contributor to this offense? I don't really think so. Raymond Calais is a late-round draft pick. TJ Logan's already injured. I don't know how many other free agent running backs there are kind of walking around looking for jobs, but, you know, you don't want to catastrophize, right? But at the same time, Rojo is a huge part of this offense, and everybody's doing these James White comparisons, and can Rojo get involved in the passing game, and that's an outlet. You know, LeSean, as talented as he is, and I think he still is, he's had some injury struggles in recent years. So, I mean, there's just a lot to kind of chew on for this coaching staff. I mean, I am talking myself into a frenzy trying to come up with an idea, like, do I think it's a good idea for the Buccaneers to make or to do this again for a second time? And I've only talked about one of these players affected. Sean Murphy Bunting is a whole other one. We've already talked about this secondary. I mean, if Sean Murphy Bunting isn't playing, then who's your top three? Or not Sean Murphy Bunting, sorry, Carlton Davis. If Carlton Davis isn't playing, who are your top three quarters? Sean Murphy Bunting, that's why I had him on my brain. Or Jamel Dean.
There it is.
And Jamel Dean. Who's the other outside guy? Like, is Sean Murphy Bunting playing outside now? Who's coming into the slot? Is that going to be Antoine Winfield Jr.? Well, then who's your free safety? Is Mike Edwards really ready to get back out there? Is it going to be Andrew Adams, who nobody's talking about? You know, like, this whole thing just kind of spirals and spirals and spirals, and we've talked about it. You know, it's great to have a solid roster and a stacked roster, but you can't – It's generally impossible. I mean, I haven't been through every NFL roster in the history of the league, so I can't, I guess, speak in definitives. But I would make the argument that even the quote unquote best teams the National Football League has ever seen they've had a lot of shallow parts of their rosters. It's just a matter of, are you talented in the right places? Are your coaches executing or emphasizing that talent in the right places? And is the injury luck that you have in your team doing the right thing to keep you healthy in the right places? Because, I mean, I don't know. Who was Brad Johnson's backup when the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl? Rob Johnson?
Sean King.
So can Sean King do enough on that offense for the Buccaneers to still win the Super Bowl? I mean, that defense is pretty great. So, you know, many people would probably argue, yeah, Sean King could still do enough. But, I mean, honestly, if you put Sean King on the field for, you know, the last eight games of that season, do the Buccaneers still win the Super Bowl? Because even if Sean King's only getting two fewer first downs per game than Brad Johnson, well, that's two, you know, changes of possession more than the Buccaneers defense having to get on the field. And the trickle-down economics of that whole thing matter, and they make an impact. So, again, and these are just the injuries we know. You know what I mean? Like, who came out of here with a twisted knee that's not on the injury report? Who came out of here with, you know, a bruised shoulder that's not on the injury report? Like, those are just the ones we know. There are bound to be ones that we don't know about. So, again, the value of doing this, again, is not a decision I have to make, fortunately, because, woof, we've only, again, now we've talked about two position groups. We're not even into the rest of them, you know. So it's going to be interesting. You know, good to see football, you know, happening again or whatever, or getting, you know, ramped up. Good to see these guys having the opportunity to go out and put it there on the field. But, I mean, when you lose two key members of your team like that, even for a short period of time, it's got to give you some hesitation, some pause about doing it again.
Well, let's move on to some happier topics coming out of this scrimmage, David. One of which, of course, you know, we're going to talk about Tom Brady. Basically, the general consensus that I see or that I saw on Twitter is that Tom Brady's unofficial stats were three scoring drives in four attempts. He went 13 for 18 for 170 yards. He had a passing touchdown to Cameron Brate, led a 98-yard drive, capped off by a one-yard Ronald Jones touchdown, and had a drive end in a field goal. He also had two throwaways. I know people are concerned with him just throwing the ball away at a rapid rate. Only two throwaways out of those 18 pass attempts. All in all, it seemed like it was a pretty successful day. And, yeah, you were pointing out before we started recording – not a whole lot to be said about Rob Gronkowski. I don't know if Gronk even participated. I haven't seen anybody talk about him. Greg Allman clarified on Twitter that even though a lot of the talk was about Ronald Jones, Keyshawn Vaughn, and Raymond Calais, both of which the rookies had fumbles that they lost in the scrimmage, Shady did participate in the scrimmage, just didn't really do anything of any kind of crazy note or really notable. But he was out there, he was participating, he was contributing, just nothing really, you know, earth-shattering to talk about regarding Shady.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest, you know, obviously Tom Brady is a huge focal point, and you know, it comes with the territory. But I think the biggest thing that stood out to me, like you said, is the absence of Rob Gronkowski. Not so much from the standpoint that I was kind of expecting it to be, you know, Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady hooked up for, you know, eight times for however many yards and a touchdown or two or whatever. Just, you know, it's something that I think is on a lot of people's minds. That, you know, we're not going to see it until we see this team take the field against the New Orleans Saints. We're not going to know really what the entire plan is with the tight end group. But we've heard things like, you know, O.J. Howard is still the number one guy. But then you have Rob Gronkowski, who has the built-in relationship with Tom. So obviously, you know, why wouldn't you want to kind of leverage that whole thing? But, you know, maybe it is the case where O.J., you know, if it's a one tight end set, O.J.'s going to be the guy out there. If it's a two tight end set, maybe Rob's out there. Maybe it's a down and distance, and, you know, Coach Arians went on record earlier in the offseason saying they're going to have a package for all these guys. So maybe there's packages that have Rob and Cam, and maybe, you know, Cam and OJ. And I mean, that's the fun of this thing. It's a Lego set, man. I mean, you can take this brick, attach it to that brick, and turn it into this shape, and now you've got this weapon. And, you know, that's the great thing about this Buccaneers offense, is that you have so many options, so many things you could do. I mean, you know, somebody's gonna unfollow me on Twitter for saying this, but you could even put together a package where Mike Evans isn't even on the field, and you still have one of the most potent offenses in the NFL when you look at it on paper. So, you know, that's a great thing with it. So when you see, you know, these notes and stuff, and specifically, you know, shout out to Show the Friend, Carmen Vitale, for her kind of her highlights and notes from the training or from the scrimmage. You know, you just go down that list and you see, you know, Blaine Gabbert is mentioned, Scotty Miller connecting on a 55-yard pass with Tom Brady is mentioned, Rojo obviously on there, Will Golson gets a shout-out. But then Rob Gronkowski, who's been a hot-button topic, you know, a staple of the offseason all year long, is nowhere to be seen. So to me, like, it's like it's not even one play. Like, you don't even see one catch or one connection in the end zone or even an attempt in the end zone. So not saying it didn't happen, obviously. You know what I mean? Like, it could have happened. She just chose not to put it in there because she's not going to put every single thing that happened in there. But to me, it is interesting that that he's not in there, but not like to the extent where we need to send up like a panic signal or anything. I mean, Rob Gronkowski is still on the team, and whenever he's on the field, defenses have to pay attention to him, whether he's on the field as the second tight end, third tight end, or first.
Yeah, and one more thing, David, that we need to touch on before we get to our next segment and our voicemail is there are some questions about the kicker position. It doesn't seem like Bruce Arians is really all that thrilled with either Elliott Fry or Matt Gay. When he was asked about his kickers today, he said, quote, obviously Fry didn't have a very good day. Gay was okay. But, yeah, rough day for Elliott Fry. I don't know the overall stats of what he did, but I saw a lot of misses on his end. And, yeah, during these practices, it seems like Fry has almost been out kicking Matt Gay, you know, during practice. In this particular situation in the scrimmage, Gay got the upper hand, but kicker once again looks to be a little bit of a questionable position for these Buccaneers.
I thought this was 2020. Is this 2015, 2016, 17, 18, 19?
It's all 14, of them. 13, it's all of them.
12. So here we are again.
And, it's every kicker year since 2002.
Every kicker since Matt Bryant. We have no confidence in. Yeah, I mean, Fry missed an extra point. It seems like they made some field goals as well. I don't really have the fully confident grasp on if all the kicks were made by Matt Gay. I haven't seen anything about Matt Gay missing any kicks, but that doesn't necessarily mean he didn't miss any kicks. It just means that Elliott Fry's missed extra point was emphasized. And I mean, a missed extra point kick should be emphasized, especially if it's not blocked. I mean, you know, within certain reason, of course, a blocked kick more often than not, you know, again, I haven't done the math, but just in my mind, it seems like a blocked kick more often than not isn't really the fault of the kicker. It's more the fault of either the snapper, the holder, or the blockers. If the ball is on time and the defense is held back long enough, then the kick will get up and out. So when you miss a kick and there's no mention of, you know, a bobbled snap, a missed snap, or a block, then it means that your kicker is the one who messed up. And, of course, it's in the south end zone, so why not? Yeah, I mean, I like Matt Gay, you know what I mean? I know he missed some kicks last year. I know he missed some kicks that people feel like he should have made, and they were clutch kicks and cost the team games and all that stuff. And I get all that. And Buccaneers, kicker, you know, the kicker frustration with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, it just carries over onto the shoulders of every single kicker that comes into this franchise, and it's really not fair, but it just kind of is what it is. So hopefully the Buccaneers can get this thing figured out sooner rather than later. But I mean, you know, it's hard. I mean, when you look across the landscape of the NFL, I mean, it's almost like almost daily you're hearing about another team releasing this kicker, signing this kicker. So as much as all of us kind of want to act like it seems like a simple job, you put your foot on the ball goes up, it goes in the direction that you send it. You know, how difficult is this? Obviously, it's pretty difficult because it's probably got the most rotation in it, you know, of any job position in the National Football League, including running back, which is the skill position that has the worst reputation for longevity. Kicker definitely seems to be a worse career move than any other position in the National Football League, as far as I'm concerned. And the Buccaneers are just one of, honestly, several teams. There are many teams trying to figure out their kicking woes. So, you know, there's only so many good kickers out there. And, you know, oftentimes you see a good kicker go somewhere and they were actually a bad kicker elsewhere. Like, I don't know, the Arizona Cardinals, last I checked, which isn't every day, but last I checked, are pretty happy with Zane Gonzalez. Well, Zane Gonzalez is also the guy that the Cleveland Browns and their fans couldn't wait to run out of town, you know, a year or two ago. So, again, it just is what it is, man. I mean, I remember Mike Nugent coming out of Ohio State was going to be like the greatest kicker to ever play, drafted by the New York Jets so high that they actually sold his jersey on their website. And, you know, I don't even know how long he lasted with him. I think it was a couple seasons, maybe three at the most. And then he's out, but then he ends up having this, you know, multi-decade career. So really, I mean, would you call Mike Nugent a bust? Probably, but would you call him a failure? Well, I mean, he had a longer NFL career than a lot of people did, so I don't know if you'd call him a failure. So it just is what it is. I look forward to the day, James, where we can not have to cover the kicking competition because it's just set. Even if it's just 1 year, I'd be happy with it.
You hold on to those hopes and dreams, David. You hold on to them. One of these days, it will come. Wrapping things up here on a Friday edition of the Locked On Bucks podcast. And David, we got ourselves a voicemail from one of our listeners.
Hey, James and David, it's Shepherd in 26. Just sending a voicemail in regarding the end of the podcast that you guys had regarding the August 26th boycott of every game in major sports. You know, I support the players and what they want to do. And I don't really ever get political because it's just politics. It's a no-win game. It's like there's no end game to it. Like, it's so divisive. Like, you're never going to come to a like, it feels like the common ground is never going to be met. All I can say is that, you know, I support the people of color's causes and all that stuff, and I truly hope that racism ends one day, but I mean, I hate to sound pessimistic, but it's just the way I've seen humanity and just the lack of empathy, just not just over social media, but just on like news or just things I've seen from news channels and all stuff, and I don't really ever watch the news. It's just the empathy and just the construed visions of things that happen is what drives us even more further apart. And, you know, I was always raised to treat people the way you want to be treated. I don't know how we've come so far away from that. If we did half of that, we could probably be in a much better state of mind and just in a much better realm of humanity. Empathy and humanity has just become a lost cause, and like I said, I don't like to get political, but it's come to the point where, you know, I've lost the faith in humanity to actually salvage itself, and that's why I always prefer the company of animals to humans, which is what I have in my Twitter headline. Animals, they don't expect much from you, and they'll always be loyal to you. Whereas humans, they take you for granted, and, you know, stuff like this happens. So, but yeah, I just thought I'd retort on your guys' last podcast regarding the whole situation with Jacob Blake, and, you know, hopefully things turn the corner, but I don't really have great belief that will happen, unfortunately. So, I just thought I'd get that off my chest, as I don't really say this stuff on Twitter for obvious reasons. So, yeah.
All right, Chef Aaron, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate you opening up and feeling comfortable enough to open up on this show with your fellow Bucks family. And you're 100% right. Discussing politics in an open forum is pretty much a no-win situation, because you're going to end up with half of the people agreeing with you and half of the people thinking you're a psychopath who doesn't know what in the world they're talking about. And that's just kind of the way it is. We've drifted away from the ability to have open and honest discussions, and it's become a situation where people with opposing views, if they start to speak with one another, they begin to talk down to the other one, digging their heels in deeper and harder than they were before, and there's no progress because of it. Now, I don't discuss politics on social media. I try to avoid discussing politics and things of the sort on this show. But when we see an effect like these protests or boycotts or whatever you want to call them, you know, when we see them happening across all the major sports, they have to be discussed because we discuss sports. That's our job. That's what we're here to do. And when you see people getting upset about Bruce Arians' comments about how protests don't do anything, you have to take action, and you see him getting criticized and ridiculed for things like that, that you have to take a step back and say, look, if these players had just said, we're not playing tonight as a sign of solidarity to show that, you know, we are trying to create a change in this world, if all they did was not play the sport that they're paid to play, nothing is changing. Nothing's going to happen from that. You're boycotting playing a game inside of an empty stadium. What change do you get from that? Instead, you see a team like the Milwaukee Bucks go back into their locker room, speak with their ownership, reach out to their local government, and fast track a bill to try to create change. That's the action that Bruce Arians was referring to when he asked about it, when he said he's been seeing stuff like this since 1968, and he and DeMaurice Smith get into it, you know, into kind of a little jab fest. Protests without action won't accomplish anything. So kudos to the Milwaukee Bucks for saying, look, we're not playing this game tonight because we have something that we are going to do. And they went back there and they did it. And they started to be a force for change. That's what needs to happen if anything's going to change. Otherwise, we just keep spinning in circles and nothing ever will.
I mean, racism, Aaron and I have talked offline before, and I'm not going to get into the full details of it. I have respect for Aaron, but anything I say to anybody privately, I'm more than happy to say publicly. And I'll just say my part of it. Racism is not a thing that's going to end. Like, racism isn't something that can go away or be defeated, as some people claim it. Like, racism has been around as long as human beings have had the ability to go somewhere and see somebody that looks different than them. It's just, you know, I don't know what it is, but it's just part of the human experience. Not saying that every human is racist necessarily. I'm just saying, like, if anybody out there has the idea that racism can go away, it's just not a thing that's going to happen. And if you believe that I'm a cynic or being negative, then I look forward to the day that I will admit that I'm wrong about that. So, you know, just let that be known. But I mean, yeah, I think it just boils down to respect for other human beings, man. And it goes into everything that you do. I mean, you know, myself personally, like, I've had a pretty solid last, you know, probably 48 hours. You know, I've had coworkers who expressed appreciation to me for my efforts at work, and I've expressed appreciation to them. I've been able to express appreciation for them because of their efforts also at work and what they're doing and contributing to what we're all working towards. I've, you know, my boss has expressed appreciation for me. I've had some former soldiers who know that I'm, you know, on the cusp of being retired, reach out and say things. I've reached out to them and reached out to other people and expressed appreciation. My wife has, you know, posted some stuff. Like, there's just a lot of, there are a lot of things in this world that are good and a lot of people in this world that look for good. You know, the stranger, you know, there's a stranger in Walmart last night who was struggling to get some green beans off of a high shelf. I offered to help her get them down. She said, no, she had them, but she thanked me for offering anyway. And I mean, that, like, those little things, like, those are the parts of humanity that you have to focus on. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of negative in the world. There's always a lot of negative in the world. And, you know, I wish it was different, guys, but negative is what gets the clicks. Negative is what gets the views. Negative is what gets the downloads. You know, I mean, go back to our numbers, James, when Jameis Winston was getting suspended. I mean, the proof is in the pudding, guys. And don't get me wrong, James and I do everything we can to avoid, you know, getting sucked into this funnel of, like, what's going to get more clicks and downloads. You know what I mean? And we bring you guys honest content, things that we think you want to hear about or things that we want to talk about. And we try to stay on the positive, like, you know, not sugarcoating things necessarily, but if there are good things happening, we want to do them. That's why we go to the Chris Godwin launch events and do, you know, do stories on them and cover them. And when Mike Evans and his foundation has an event, when Jameis Winston's foundations have events, we try to cover those things. And we've discussed this on the show before too, James. I mean, I'll tell you guys, those don't get the clicks, the views, the downloads that the other stuff does. And that's not us. You know what I mean? That's kind of what Chef Aaron is talking about. Maybe that's an indictment on society that more people would rather click on the suspension news than they would the foundation news. I don't know. But what I can tell you is that there are still people reading the foundation news. And there are still people who comment about the foundation news and download those episodes and call in voicemails about those things. And Aaron, guys like you and guys like Jim and guys like, you know, Matt and Troy, and there's so many, please, I'm not going to name them all. You know what I mean? But there are so many people. I mean, Scott Reynolds, James, we were talking about it off air. Scott Reynolds, you know, included Evan and I and a bunch of other people in his SR Fab Five. And I mean, that alone, you know, getting a little bit of recognition from someone who's been in this business as long and done it as well as Scott Reynolds has and the Pew Report guys, that alone, I mean, that's a good part of humanity, man. I mean, those are the things you got to look for. And those are the things that are going to reinforce your belief that humanity is still on the right track. Because trust me, there is way more good and there are way more good people in this world and on the planet than there are bad. The bad are the ones that draw the attention. The bad are the ones that draw, you know, the most light to them or whatever you want to call it. But you've got to go out there and seek it out, Chef. And when you don't want to, stay at home with your animals, bro. I'm down. I'm with you, man. But when you are out and about, if you take that time to army guys, brace yourself, hunt the good stuff. Trust me, it works and you're going to find it. So that's a long response, but appreciate your call, Chef. And yeah, like James said, we're really happy that you feel comfortable enough to share that with us. I'm honestly, truly honored that you feel comfortable enough to DM me about some of the things that we've talked about in private. So you know what I mean? That again, that's a good part of humanity that we can do this and connect like that. So I appreciate that. And you know, we appreciate you as well.
You know, I thought Scott Reynolds and I got along just fine at the combine in Indianapolis, but that's okay. I'm not,
you know, when he mentions me, he mentions you. Like,
okay. I'm not hurt or upset or anything that I didn't get mentioned in the Fab Five. No. No, I totally get what you're saying. And obviously you being down in Tampa for a week, yeah, it's a little easier to be in grade. And
it shoot, helps a little bit.
When he was on the podcast, I wasn't even around.
Listen, I mean, it's all right, it probably has to do with me helping save Mark Cook from a Josh Rosen fastball that was intended for Mike Gesicki, but of course was headed towards us instead of his intended target. So that probably has something to do with it.
You know what, Scott Reynolds, you are 100% correct in just completely not knowing I exist. And for that, I thank you because I deserve it at this point in time. I just realized this. I put the pieces together live on air. All right. Well, David, we are going to get out of here. Please send us your voicemails to 813-444-5841. Check out everything going on over at BucksNation.com. Follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JRCO_Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at Bucks_Nation. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding weekend. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, be good to each other. And we thank you so much for joining us right here